From the first day we received the horrible news of Kobe passing away, I've been receiving requests for Kobe portraits. That from artist Juan Urieta in tonight's Voices of the People, remembering Kobe Bryant. Juan, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, that line I think means so much as to what you love to do, which is to be an artist.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, since a kid, that was like my dream. Everybody has a little dream when they're small and they wish they could become that person. And art was what I loved and liked. And ever since, I've always wanted to be an artist.
So you have been that person since you were what, like 5 or 6 years old?
5, 6 years old.
Yeah.
You know, drawing in the mornings when we would receive the Sunday paper, I would grab the cartoons and go to the living room and just start sketching out all the cartoons I liked. I would watch sports, you know, Michael Jordan, 49ers, Lakers, Magic, and I would be in awe, like, oh my God, these guys are great. And I would start drawing them little by little, you know, it just became a hobby and then it became part of my life.
So it's cartoons and sports, that was your thing?
That was the thing when I was growing up. And those are the things that, you know, as a kid, you grow up and you admire the creativity when it became, you know, something fun like a cartoon. And then you admire the athletes, what they could do with their bodies, the way they were able to control themselves and incredible things they did, you know. And I kept drawing them all through my life.
But you've got a really great backstory. We should say now at 43 years old, you're wearing a shirt with a drawing of Kobe Bryant that you put onto a t-shirt. I love that because others have come in here with their Laker shirts or other kinds of Kobe, you know, shirts and jerseys. But you have one of your own art craft.
Yeah, that's the great thing about airbrushing. And that's what I usually do is you're able to customize pretty much anything. Shoes, cars, Harley Davidson's.
Which you did.
Which I did for about a year for Harley Davidson, a special company that did the special Fat Boys. They would do like 200 special edition bikes, and we would take them, we'll send them down, and we would create a different look, different logo, flames, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Okay. My husband's going to love you because we have Harleys. We ride Harleys. So, yeah.
Oh, when people see them, they're like, oh, my God, you did those? You're like, yeah, I did those. It was a good time. So I met a lot of good people, had a great experience working in a big company like that, you know.
Well, we appreciate a gorgeous motorcycle.
Yeah, they are. From there is where I got the idea of like, oh, man, I need to save up some money and get my own gallery. And start doing my own work. It's fun to do, you know, commercial stuff where you're doing what people are asking you to do. That's always good. But I always wanted to do my own thing, so that's how I got into.
And there you are now.
Gallery.
Yeah, you have your gallery in Santa Ana.
Santa Ana. I just I've had it for a few years, but I've been too busy working, you know, saving up, trying to
paying the bills,
and recently, like we were talking about, with Kobe passing away, and I don't know if you guys know this, but Orange County and L.A. County, you know, a lot of times there's like a little fight between them. But nah, you know, we're the same. I mean, I don't know if you guys know, but most people know Kobe lived in Coto de Casa, Newport.
Newport, yeah.
Yeah, and my family, I had a girlfriend that had her family that lived next to them.
Next to, in that area. Okay. Uh-huh.
And then my one of my best friends works at the recreation centers in Newport, multi-million-dollar building, and Kobe would go there in the mornings and play sometimes. My sisters worked at the theater where he would go watch movies, and they would call me like, hey, Kobe's over here. I'm like, oh, man, try getting me an autographed basketball. Run to sports store and grab me one. It's like, oh, man, it's too late. He's already in there, you know. Yeah. So I ran into him one time at a sushi joint in a Spectrum in Irvine. So, I mean, it wasn't just like those athletes that you hear about or you see that you you never get to meet or see in real life. I mean, we saw him at the Staples Center. If we saw him, you know, playing basketball at the gyms, we would see them, you know, walking around at the mall. So it's something that I think that's why it hit everybody so hard. Mm. Me personally and my friends, we went to the parades when they won.
You're a fan.
Big time fan. Like, I actually had my garage floor customized, cut up, and painted Lakers on. Like, I mean.
Wow. That's a true fan.
Yeah. Like, I had my, I've been drawing Kobe portraits forever. And then, like I was telling you earlier, there wasn't that much social media, like, you know, what, 15 years ago?
Yeah, because I was saying, I was looking at your Instagram page, and sometimes you look at someone's page and you can completely tell throughout the whole page who they are and what they do. But you look at yours and the newer stuff is all art, but the other stuff is you living life.
Yeah, and because I got away from drawing for a bit when I was working and trying to save to get
paying
the gallery,
bills.
Paying the bills. And but art was always there. You know, every once in a while I would do a portrait for somebody or do a t-shirt for myself. Somebody would ask me to do certain things, and I would go there, murals. And then just recently I started doing art again, and I had some time to, like, actually sit down and do nothing but draw every
well,
day.
I don't remember how I started following you on Instagram. I don't know how that happened because I don't follow the masses and everybody just because I don't have time to sit there and click, you know. But for some reason I've been following you. And I saw your Kobe, your picture, which is a sketch and then airbrush, and it's gorgeous. And I wanted to reach out to you just to hear your story behind it. But I want to get back to something you said. We're doing this podcast here in Los Angeles. I'm a news anchor at Fox 11 in Los Angeles. And you talked about bumping into Kobe or people bumping into him here in Southern California. Well, I have a funny story of a girlfriend who says, you know, this is the Hollywood area. When she would be single dating, she'd tell the guy, don't tell me any movie star you want to meet or that you're in love with because you could meet him at Ralph's grocery store in L.A. because they live here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kobe was living. I ran into Vanessa and the kids at the nail salon.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. I thought, who is that gorgeous woman? And it was Vanessa.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
You see, and that everybody I know pretty much has a story about how they ran into him. They saw him at the gym. Like my sister's at their work when he's trying to sneak in and avoid the line. So they're like,
"Is it the movie theater?"
At the movie theater and at the block.
She's like, "Really?
Hey, let's get in through the back. We don't want to go through the line." Mm-hmm. Like my sister's like, "Yeah, go ahead." You know, so it's those little things that kind of like connected us to us. And I don't think any other, I'm going to say athlete or actor, it's only certain amount of them they're going to make everybody feel this way. Yeah. Like you're losing one of your family members. I mean, how many times didn't we celebrate his winnings, his last-minute shots, his dunking, his games, his championships? When he lost.
I remember going down to the makeshift memorial that was after the helicopter crash. People had just gathered around Staples Center. And I wanted to see it for myself. You know, we have it on the news, obviously, but I wanted to see. I've never seen anything like that. The amount of people who left basketballs and flowers and T-shirts and stuffed animals and pictures. It was unreal. Like, I almost think back to Princess Diana kind of situation where I saw it on TV, obviously, but the massive amount of items people left behind. Did you go down and see it at all?
You know what? During that time, I was doing all the portraits.
Yeah.
So I wasn't. My friends were like, "Hey, let's go." I'm like, "Dude, I got to finish these portraits." Everybody's like asking me to stick around and do it. So I was actually thinking of doing a special one where with Heyman and Gigi,
Gianna,
and I don't know. Maybe I could give it to you. So you
I don't have any direct connection. But there is the Mamba Foundation.
Oh, maybe I could send it over to them, and I'm gonna work on something specially just for them, and hopefully I could be able to give it to them soon.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny how you're saying about that the whole Diana thing. I think this is bigger than Diana because everywhere you see now, like Philippines, I don't know where murals over there, you know, any you hear the stories every day coming out where every part of the world is doing their own mourning, they're all doing certain things to celebrate his life and his passing away. And
I think it's
bigger than Diana.
Yeah, that's an interesting question because we are in a different kind of time too. Because even we talked about your social media page, mm-hmm. where people are able to share their thoughts or the picture that speaks to them, or their words. So it's not just something you see on the news. It's right on your telephone,
you know,
your iPhone or whatever phone that you carry. But I want to get back to the inspiration of your art. And I don't know how much you want to share on the mic that we shared off mic, but I think you have a very interesting, unique story about your childhood and how you started even drawing. Do you want to share it?
Yeah. My parents came over when I was probably 5 years old.
From Mexico?
From Mexico City. The American dream, trying to make a better life for themselves and us. And during that time, my parents were scared. They didn't know what to think of.
Because they were here illegally.
Illegally.
Yeah.
So they didn't let us out and play. They thought, their immigration is going to be running around carrying people away.
How many siblings?
I have 4 sisters and my little brother.
And so you were all kept inside?
Well, it was just me and my sisters for the first 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, first few years. And we would be in the living room watching TV. We didn't go to school for like the first 5-6 months till finally they got us into school. But during that time, all we did was watch cartoons and draw. And that's where I got my inspiration of like draw. I would draw cartoons. I would draw athletes that were because that's what we watched. We watched basketball games, baseball games. I remember watching Hershiser, Gibson and Magic and
Jordan, Dodgers, and early Lakers.
Yeah, Lakers. And yeah. I just became a fan of sports. And that's my love for sports and drawing came early when I was 5 years old.
And so your parents were working?
My parents would be working and we would stay there by ourselves till they came back home. And they had a decent job and my dad did upholstery, so he would fix up like the seats and all that. And my mom did sewing. She would do shirts, T-shirts. Sometimes we would bring back work home and we would help them out, like cut the little strings off. And
how do hardworking people?
Hardworking. At one point, I remember it was like a sweatshop at our house. Today we had 3 sewing machines. Everybody would be sewing and we would be cutting and prepping everything, putting it back in the bags, and they would take it back home. So, I mean, we worked a lot of hours and I don't know. It kind of built, made me who I am. I work a lot. I don't know if in the car business we work 12 hours.
And that's where you work in the car business.
Yeah. I have been working there for a while. I've taken some time off right now and probably have about 6 months that I've been drawing like almost every day and got back into the swing of things.
So let me just get back to finish up your childhood story. So then you talked about legal paperwork coming through that you all became U.S. citizens.
Yeah, there was a special program where they were able to get papers through their job. And they got a letter saying they worked there for a certain time of years. And we were able to get our papers through the whole family. So then at that point, now we're going to school. Now we're able to go outside and play. Now we're living a regular life. And
no idea.
Oh man! And the things that we I saw, like living in a one bedroom apartment, 5-6 people, all those little things make you work harder, try harder, try to do everything possible to get your family out of it.
Mm-hmm. And So you grew up in Santa Ana. That's home. And you live now in Santa Ana. Uh-huh. Your gallery that you just now got yourself is in Santa Ana. Is the gallery open yet? Or how does that work?
I do it by appointments only where people, if they hit me up, like, hey, I want to see some of your work. Or, hey, I want something done. I'm like, okay, I'll work on it, get it done. And then they come pick it up at my place. So it's mostly, it's Santa Ana Art District. It's in downtown Santa Ana, so there's a bunch of different lofts, artists, restaurants. It's a really nice vibe. So I'm barely getting into it where I'm promoting it. I just need to do a few more portraits so I can fill it up. Because what happens with me is as soon as I make one, somebody buys it and takes it. Or
how exciting.
So I really don't have – I haven't been able to keep enough to have a showing. It's always – I always do something that somebody wants me to do for them. So I never really keep a lot of my art for a long time.
Okay. So where do they say your name, because I love the way you just roll the R's. And then also, where do they find you?
Juan Urrieta. And Instagram is where I do most of my work. It's Juan, J-U-A-N, underscore, Urrieta, U-R-I-E-T-A, underscore, Lopez. Mm-hmm. L-O-P-E-C.
And if they look at your page, they'll definitely see your beautiful artwork. So I've had other artists on the podcast. One is a painter, does murals. Another is a graffiti artist and uses the spray can. You do the pencil sketch. And do you always sketch off a photo?
Yeah. Sometimes I'll freehand, but those are little things you learn with when you work for Harley Davidson or you take a couple of courses. You use the projector to just make sure the dimensions are correct. There's a lot of little different tricks, grids and all that you could do. But I use a projector, makes it easier and faster. I usually try to get a picture that has really good detail, not one that's far away or you can't really see the eyes. It's like the more detail, the better. And that's how I'm able to get such a good work done. If you look at my work, you'll be able to notice there's details in the eyes and the nose, the body, the muscles. I like where you're able to see all these little details. I mean, details are like the main thing for me.
And is people your thing? Is that what you draw people?
You know what? That's what inspires me the most. I mean,
why?
Just every person's like, to me, I see everybody as a beautiful person. Like, there's always something beautiful about a person, like, you know, their eyes, their nose, their body, their aura, the way they are. Everything, to me, there's something beautiful in them. And
yes.
I love drawing portraits of people.
So when you're looking at a photograph, you see the actual person there. How true to how they look are you trying to be, or is it more your artistic interpretation?
Exact. I'm trying to make them look exactly the way they are. A lot of people, you know, they throw their own little thing. And mine is more of more detail. I emphasize sometimes on their eyes a lot or their lips. I want to make sure I catch every shade, every shadow, every hair, because I just feel like the more detail, the better the portrait's going to come out.
So if you're sketching, which they're black and white, pencil sketch,
mm-hmm.
and then you airbrush too. What does the airbrush do?
The airbrush is actually a little softer paint. When you use a little compressor that throws air, and then you use a little water-based paint that sprays onto the canvas, it's very hard to, like, you need probably a year or two to practice to be able to control the gun good and be able to draw really good with an airbrush. It's not something you could just pick up like a pencil and just start drawing. No, an airbrush, if you make a mistake, yeah, that's it. You better go get yourself another canvas. You can't
You said throw it away.
Yeah. You can't erase it like a pencil drawing where you erase it and you start all over. It's water-based. So once you make a mistake and sprays everywhere, you can't go back and erase it.
Is that frustrating for you?
You know what? I've learned not to make too many mistakes.
Right. We're not going through this again, right?
And then probably in the last 20 years of drawing, 30 years of drawing, whatever years, probably 30 years, I've probably thrown away 10.
Okay, so 10, not very often.
10 canvases.
Okay, so the beautiful one that I love is the one sketch of Kobe Bryant. It's the one where he's grabbing his T-shirt, his jersey. We've seen this out there. And he's got a great expression on his face. It was celebration, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you pick that photo?
You see, I love passion. I love when people express themselves. Like, I really hate some of the little rules and fouls they give out to players for showing too much passion. Like, you know, they throw a flag for somebody that celebrates too much. Or he screamed, oh, you're out of the game. And like, wow. If you're an athlete, if you ever played a sport, you're going to know that you're giving it 110%. Every part of your body, your feelings, your emotions, your strength, it's in that game at that moment. You're not even thinking about anything else. You're not thinking about your family, your friends. You're thinking about, how am I going to win this game? So how do you not expect somebody to be emotional and have that those feelings? So in that drawing, he expressed 110% of his feelings. He wasn't thinking of anybody else. He was thinking about that victory that he did, what he did at that moment. And you see it in every part of the portrait, mm-hmm. from his hands to his mouth to his body. Think about it. When do you see stuff like that? Like,
do we know from which or when that photo came from?
You know what? I don't know. I never did research behind it, but just the fact of how much he celebrated at that moment was the reason I picked that portrait. Okay. And I get a lot of requests where they'll send me certain pictures, and I'll be like, okay, let me do more research and let me look for a picture that I like.
Right.
Because I probably turn down half of the people that they send me something, and I'll be like, hey, yeah, okay, I know what you want. Let me go and see what I could find.
Because it doesn't really speak to you for some reason.
Yeah, I've done it a few times, and I just did it once. For that one, he sent me some other pictures, and I'm like, no, here, let me do this one for you.
So the sketch is black and white, but then that one you chose to paint a background?
Yeah, sometimes, on this one, my buddy was like, hey, man, I love this picture. I love it, but do something in the background. Give me a little gold or a little purple. And I was going to do a black background because I love black. It just pops everything. It makes everything look so much better. But when I go, you know what, let me try some yellow and purple. And I did the yellow one because it's always the lightest shade. So when I go over with purple, it's not going to show up as much. But if I do purple or black and then I go over with yellow, it's going to be hard to cover that up. Yeah. So when I saw the yellow and I saw the finish, I was like, whoa.
That's really good.
I think I'm keeping the yellow. I'm like, hey, dude, I text him right away. I go, here's the finished picture. I know you wanted black and purple and yellow, but I think we're going to keep it yellow, dude. He's like, dude, it pops.
It does. It's like, amazing. So how long does it take you to do something like that?
I used to be so fast, like when I was on it before, a day or two. And I was like, that's my goal was to get something done in a day. But now that I take more time and I'm very picky about the details and all that, this one took me 3 days, but I'm talking about like working 8, 9 o'clock in the morning till 1, 2 in the afternoon, taking a nap or going to go get something to eat, coming back at 6, 7 and working till like midnight. So it probably 10, 12 hours for 3 days in a row.
How big is the picture?
It's about 5 feet tall.
Kind of life size in a way.
Yeah, yes, life size.
Not Kobe's life size. Not Kobe's height, but yeah, it's big.
I don't know. When it comes to art, I don't like small portraits. I just like the full life size.
Do you frame it?
Some of them we do, but what I've been doing, I do some with poster board, which you frame because it's so thin and it's more like a thick paper. But the ones I'm doing recently are all in canvases, so you're able to just hang without framing it.
Oh, how beautiful.
So it's a lot easier. It looks good without the frame. You could just put it on your wall right away.
And then what was the top end price for something like this? We have Jeff Bezos listening, let's say, and wants to buy this.
Well, I hope if somebody like that comes in and says, you know, here's 10 grand and do one for me. But actually, I'm really reasonable. I get a lot of people that hit me up, and I try to do friends and family discounts, and I'll give them, you know, $300-$400, because I just know that sometimes you can't afford the $2,000-$3,000 cost. So it depends on the person, the story. Most of the like the Kobe ones, those are like $1,500, $2,000. Friends and family or really good fans, sometimes I'll give them a big discount just because I actually do want everybody to have one. If I've gotten people who are like, hey, man, I love this one, and I just get it off the wall and I give it to them because I see how much they loved it.
Right. But you still got to pay the bills.
I still got to pay the bills.
If you can do it through art, that's the dream, right?
Yeah, that's the dream. If I could get somebody to come in and say, hey, man, here's 10 grand. Look at it. Go do a mural in my living room. That's the dream. Do that once, you know, every couple of months. We're good to go.
Well, and you've done also Nipsey Hussle.
I did the Nipsey Hussle for one of my friends. He's an artist. He does rap, and he's hustling. He's trying to get into it. He's been doing it for a few years, and that hurt him too. You know, being that he's from Long Beach and LA, and he loved Nipsey.
That was after the murder of Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah, right after that, he hit me up like the next day. He's like, "Hey man, I need something like this. Can you do this for me?" And I'm like, "Yeah, man, I'll take care of it." And Josh is a very good friend of mine, and I did that, and I loved it.
That's beautiful too.
Yeah, he gave me a couple of portraits, and I was like, "Now here, let me do one. Let me see the one I like." A lot of times, I don't want to do something that everybody else has been drawing.
Okay.
And you see some of the drawings that some people use the same picture.
Okay.
I'm like, no, I looked at where he was smiling, he looked happy, he was doing what he loved. I go, I think I like that one. And that's how I picked the Nipsey Hussle one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about your art and your love of basketball and Kobe Bryant. You also wrote that I don't think there's another athlete in the world that has been a part of our lives as much as Kobe.
And that is, I believe that 110%. And just based off what's been happening in the few days after his passing, think about it. Who else have we celebrated as much as Kobe?
Yeah, especially in Los Angeles where, I mean, he's with the team.
He never left.
Career.
You know, everybody has their own little group where they have little debates of who's the best, who's not, and who's the greatest Laker. And then every time we have a debate between Jordan and Kobe, we're talking about the GOAT, the best of all time, the greatest of all time. And we never mention any other Laker. We never mention anybody else besides Kobe and Jordan. So you got to admit that Kobe is the greatest Laker that ever lived. One of the best teams of all time, best sports of all time, and Kobe was the best Laker. You could debate it. It could be Kareem, Magic, Walt. But why is he? And when we had that conversation about who's the best, Jordan or Kobe, we never talk about anybody else. Okay. We always talk about them too. So it kind of makes me believe that he's one of the greatest. If not the greatest, I mean.
Let me ask you this: had you ever been to a Laker game?
I used to go all the time.
Yeah.
And you see, like I was telling you, like the whole social media barely started blowing up 10 years ago, but I've been going to a Laker game, Dodger games for a long time. But
a true fan.
True fan. I've 49ers. I'll fly out to San Francisco to go see a game. I've flown out to San Jose to go see.
Wow, that is a true fan. If you're on a plane and travel. Yeah.
When I see a playoffs, I'm the first one trying to get the tickets so I could be able to watch the playoffs. And I love sports. Sports is something that I think just gives us so much hope, passion, emotions, things to celebrate. I mean, it's always happy. Even if your team loses, it kind of kind of humbles you a little bit, like, okay, maybe you can't win them all.
So let me ask you this, and this is obviously the tough question. When news came of the helicopter crash in Calabasas on that Sunday, where were you? How did you hear the news?
I was in my house, and it was early. I got a text. Like, my friends sent me a picture of what happened, and I was like, oh, no, man, this isn't happening. I like this. This is like a fake news, you know? And I kind of brushed it off for the first minute. And then it kind of hit me like, wait a minute, double check that. Go to Instagram. Because Instagram is where most people see stuff now. It's like, and I went in there and I was like, oh, shoot. And I just kept seeing reports and reports. And I go, oh, man, no, it can't be. And then I text one of my friends, that one that works in Newport, and I go, dude, Bubba, did you see that? Like, yeah, dude, it's true. Like, no freaking way. And all I got was texts and calls, Are you okay? Are you good? I'm like, yeah, man, I'm okay, but I just can't believe it. It feels unreal, like too young, 40, you know, 40 something years old.
Yeah. And 41.
His kid. I mean, I have four sisters that I helped raise. My parents separated when I was 14 years old. So I took the father figure role when I was young, worked a full-time job, had my mom that was single. I took him to school, taught him how to play soccer, basketball. So knowing that he's up there, knowing that they're about to die and you have your daughter next to you and you're holding her and trying to protect her. I could just imagine with my sisters, you know, the love I have for them and knowing that there's nothing you could do at that moment and being so young. Like, I think if, you know, he was 60, 70, he died of regular
natural causes,
it wouldn't have hit us that hard. Yeah. If his daughter wasn't with him, probably would have been all together, little by little, it all just, I think that's why it hit us so hard. Young, daughter, the person he was, the all those feelings, all the emotions, all those great moments he gave us, it's why it's so hard for us to believe this happened.
Yeah. And so that day, I mean, obviously, you know, working in news, what happens is we get the call to come in. So I think that we all channel our grief differently. So for us, I had woken up and I'd looked, I kind of do this every morning. I kind of just pop on social media to see what my news day is going to be like. It was a Sunday, so it's an off day for me. But I kind of want to make sure that there's no breaking news for the day. And I saw that there had been a helicopter crash in Calabasas. And I thought, okay, well, they'll have it. The weekend team will have it on. And kind of just started to get ready to go for a walk. And then I got a call from work to come in, and they said, we think it's Kobe. And I've just learned that you just drop everything and you roll in. So we came in, got on the air right away. So for me, part of why I like news is that you can be part of what's going on and get the information and know about it and share it. And it's something to do with your anxiety, your stress, your grief, whatever the issue is. It's you're part of it in some small way. How did you spend your day after getting this news?
I couldn't do nothing. I try to get up and shower and just talking. I have a group of like probably 7-8 guy friends that talk about sports all day long. You know, some of them gamble a little bit too much. They need to slow down. But I got friends that like know so much about sports. They know what high school they went to, what elementary, what, you know, whose parents. So they, everybody just kept, dude, do you hear this? Do you hear that? Oh, you believe this? And it was so many people reaching out to me, and just there was not one person that wasn't shocked and disbelieved that what had just happened. There's not one person like that I know personally that didn't mourn and didn't feel this, you know, feel hard. It felt hard for them to go over the next few days. Even to this day, I still see little texts and little messages that people are still mourning them. They're still, you know, doing candles. They're you know, wearing their shirts at work. People are still there, you know, thinking about them.
Let me ask you this. When did you decide to pick up a pencil to sketch and to do a Kobe portrait?
And, you know, that's the one thing, like, kind of like you. You wake up, you said, oh, I got to do the news. I got to report it to them. And when my friend called me up and he's like, hey, man, I need this as soon as possible. Like, hey, man, I know this might just get me, this will get me out of bed and maybe takes some of the feelings out of off my head and start doing something, you know, like, so.
So your friend, knowing that you're an artist, said right away, the day of the crash, I need a portrait of Kobe.
Yeah. And from there on, that day on, I think I posted a couple of pictures, and it was just like, hey, I need one too. Hey, did you sell that one already? Can I have it? And then it just one after another, and right now I'm backed up about a couple of them, but I'll get through them. And like I said, you know, it actually does help, because I know that I'm making somebody's. I've gotten so many great reviews about them, and so great comments, and it kind of helped out. Like, okay, well, you know, at least I'm working through this by drawing and expressing myself and making some person happy.
How do you feel when you're doing the portrait and you see that you're creating Kobe Bryant on a canvas or paper?
It's just like the Mamba mentality. I try to do the best possible, and I think about his games. I try to sometimes I'll just watch a little bit of his game before I do it. Like, I pump myself up. Like, okay, let's motivate myself a little bit.
Really? Yeah. You watch some of the games?
I watch some of the games. I have like so many channels at home, and the Lakers. I paid extra few bucks so I could have.
You're a diehard fan.
Diehard fan. Yeah. People walk in and like, dude, you have this channel? Like, yeah, I pay like about $180 in cable bill, so I could watch everything at all times. And there's always flashbacks on Laker channel, and I'll watch a few games, so I could, you know, get into it. I do have a beer or two every once in a while, or a glass of wine, depending on the mood or the portrait. And I'll start just drawing.
When you step back and looked at the first Kobe Bryant portrait you had done, because remember, you'd done Nipsey Hussle, so we know you've done big names in a situation where there's grief. How did you feel when you first saw the finished product?
I wanted to keep it. I was like, dude, I think I want to keep it. And it's like, nah, dude, get me. And it's funny because during this time, he went to Cuba. And he was like,
hey, your friend?
My friend, he's Matt. He's like, hey, I'm gonna hit you up when I come back from Cuba and pick it up. I'm like, hey, yeah, no problem, man. And he's like, okay. And then Super Bowl passed by, and my buddy, I was walking into the park. I was going to go to his house, and he's like, hey, to bring the portrait so we could have a little shot during halftime for Kobe. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Like, I'll take it over. It's a few blocks away from my house. And when I got there, he's like, hey, dude, would you be cool if I buy it off you? And we raffle it off to one of our friends.
Oh.
You see if somebody wins it, and, like, just make it more of a fun environment. And
is that your Super Bowl party?
Yeah. I was like,
how fun.
I already sold it. And I told my buddy, he's like, dude, I guess I could do another one. I'll have to change it up a little bit, do a different background, do something different so it won't be. I always try to do one of a kind where there's nobody else that's going to have the same one. So I'll change the background. I'll change the colors. And I said, okay, man, go for it. Let's go. And everybody got all hyped up. And the one of the guys that came over and was like, hey, man, dude, I love it. You know, I hope I win it, you know. Yeah, like, hey, no, man, I hope so too, you know.
Did he?
He was one of his brother ended up winning, and they shared a room. And so they were like, oh, man, I didn't win, but my brother won it.
Good enough.
A room. He was all
they
happy.
They can never part ways now.
Yeah, so those little things, like when you see that and how much they love the portraits and how, you know, there's no price to it.
Yeah.
And that keeps you going.
You know, I've been doing a series of these podcasts on Voices of the People, but yours is one of the more joyous ones. You seem so joyous about what Kobe Bryant had brought to you throughout your life.
Yeah.
Am I right?
To me, and that's funny, maybe that's how I live life. Even when it's something negative, like I said, like we would, how many losses did we go with them? You know, we celebrated so many victories, but even in the losses,
we were still there.
We were still there. We felt, like, you know, humbled us, like, okay, maybe we need to go back and practice. Oh, you know, Kobe might need to shoot less or do more. I was one of the guys who were like, shoot all you want, Kobe. I'd rather have you shoot than anybody else. Like, I'm always positive. I'm always thinking of all the good things. And at this point, you know, I think Kobe brought the whole city, the whole world, everybody together. Like, there's nowadays you hear so much bad. So to hear something like this, but then all the love that came out of it, all the everybody coming together, everybody showing respect and love for an individual that did so much for the city, for the game, I want to think of them that way. Mm-hmm. I don't need to think of anything else, and I'll think all my life I want to think of like all the good things that came out of them, you know.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, I just want to be grateful and thankful for you inviting me here, and I hope if anybody wants one, just hit me up on Instagram, and I'll see what I could do, and hopefully I can make more people happy and draw more for everybody else.
Well, they're certainly beautiful, and people can find you. Again, my guest is Juan Urieta. You can find him on Instagram. Say it one more time.
Juan Urieta.
And do your Instagram name.
Instagram is Juan _ Urieta _Lopez.
Truly beautiful. I just thank you for sharing your story. And I enjoyed seeing your picture on Instagram. Obviously, you didn't bring one here for us because they're all gone, right?
Yeah, they're all gone.
They're all gone.
But I'm doing a few more, so.
Yeah, well, I'll look for it on Instagram. You post so we can see a picture of it on your Instagram.
Yeah, okay. I'll be there on there all the time.
Thanks for being on our podcast, Voices of the People.
Thank you.
We leave you with the song Wings as we take a moment to honor all nine on board that helicopter that crashed in Calabasas, California on January 26, 2020, on the way to Kobe Bryant's Mamba Academy. Those names are John, Alyssa, and Carrie Altobelli, Sarah and Peyton Chester, Christina Mauser, Era Zobayan, Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna. Anyone wishing to donate to a fund set up for the families can donate to mambaon3.org. Wings is by singer Tim Johnson Jr. We'll hear his story on another episode of this podcast series, Voices of the People, Kobe Bryant Remembered. You give me wings to fly.